And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And we've done a lot of episodes and we've talked about a lot of things, but I want to start somewhere different this week, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to pay tribute to Cade Simpson.
Okay, that was better than where I thought you were going, which is NFL preseason, which is a fairly common topic for most of our listeners. Go on.
So he's... I was just looking at his record, and it's pretty amazing. There's a friend of the podcast who tracks these things, has been away for a while, but I certainly wasn't. I couldn't see anything in the media about Cade Simpson's four games away from losing the most games ever in a career.
That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
It's pretty impressive, yeah. And the all time loser is sort of famous for it. Kevin Murray, who played for Fitzroy during their long dark descent. But he's now got a losing record against Richmond from 27 games, and it confirmed my prediction. I thought he plays well. He's always played well against us. Yeah, he plays better against us than he does against most other teams. But he's now got a losing record against Richmond, despite the fact that at one stage he had a better than 70% winning record.
Yep.
Against Richmond. And now they've lost 9 in a row to us. And that kind of made me happy.
It does, but it is. It's a really good start, because something I wanted to say something early on this as well, is the don't become the Hawthorn supporter theme that I've been running the last couple of weeks. Is don't underestimate how good these wins are, and enjoy them while they last. You have 3 of your best 4 players out. Traditional best 4, maybe not anymore, but still, you've got Rance Cochin and Dusty all not playing, and difficult game conditions, team with a lot of late season pride to play for. I'm not being facetious, I mean that genuinely. Like, it would have been a big deal for them if they'd rolled us. Coach who basically would have got a full time gig if he'd won that game, I reckon.
Yeah, and a pretty despite their lowly status, a pretty experienced, mature team, the older team.
It's like, I mean, we forget because they have such good young talent, and they're elite young talent's great, but they were more experienced and older than us on average. It's quite extraordinary when you sort of think how mediocre they were. Well, no, just flat bad they were at the start of the year.
Yeah, there's a whole podcast to be done about their flawed list management strategy, but they've got some really experienced players, and any team that starts with Cripps in the middle is going pretty well in contested ball. Mark Murphy, Jacob Wiedering's coming on. I thought he did a better job on Lynch than anyone we've seen for a while. They were a tough out.
Yeah, they were. And look, absolutely no one has said this, and I feel bad for having a slightly controversial opinion, but I think at halftime we went in think we were dominating, partly because Carlton shot particularly badly for goal. No goals, 6 at one stage. They kicked 2 of those goals. They're still losing, but you're not sort of... Not every Richmond supporter went into halftime of that game thinking we're absolutely crushing it. If the lead's slightly smaller, then we might look at things a bit more... We might perceive the game slightly differently.
It's slightly terrible, but my main thought at halftime was I so, 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 so want Jack Graham to outscore Carlton for the whole game.
Oh, what a great thought. That would have been great. But yeah. But that's what we, I mean, we're all in that mindset. We're a bit arrogant and smug, stuff like that. Not thinking, let's just get the win and move on. And so, you know, I just, I very much, I know this has been a constant theme of the last couple of weeks, but I think we should enjoy these wins while they keep coming.
Mm. I know.
And not be frustrated that we didn't win by 100.
Yeah, and actually, speaking of being smug, I did a quick bit of research, and it is worked out. This is our fourth best era of all time. Like the best sort of long era is pretty much, you know, Jack Dyer's whole career, give or take a little bit.
Yep.
The early 70s is our best sort of concentrated burst. You know, bookended with the 1980 flag. But yeah, it's, you know, for a club with a 110 year history, you know, enjoy it, because we've certainly had some down periods, as we all know.
Yeah, and like, just look at the historic. We're going to need to win them, beat them another 20 games in a row to even our historical win-loss record with Carlton.
Ugh.
Yeah, sorry about that. I shouldn't have brought that up. So let's talk a bit about the game itself, you know, overall, it was interesting. Grigor in the commentary box, for those who haven't watched the replay, just watched it live. Sean Grigor was doing commentary, and
deeply enjoyable. Yeah.
I think he needs to, maybe when next year, but if he wants to be in the media, I think he needs to, he's still very cautious in what he says. He's very well informed, so he was interesting, but he still sort of speaks a bit like he's worried that someone's going to quote him in the presses, like he's a current player. But yeah, I thought he was really interesting and an insightful guy. And I was enjoying what he said about the wet, and that how, because Richmond play the MCG so often, they understand the wet there and they know that it turns dry very quickly.
That was fascinating. I enjoyed that.
So, you know, I've often thought that we adjust to the wet better because our tactics. Because, for instance, I don't, you know, if that is a dry day, do we play Vossi loose like we did? I'm not sure we did, but it was absolute masterstroke. I think in some ways Teague helped do himself out of a coaching job by leading Vossi free for so long in the back line, because he had six intercepts at half time. And, basically the Carlton just couldn't move the ball forward without meeting the Vossstone roadblock.
And I liked all of our defenders. You know, they were just playing in front. You know, part of them being goalless at quarter time was just, or at half time was just they weren't winning any contests.
Cruiser kicked the goal just before half time.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, yeah, but even that was an intercept rather than winning a 1-on-1. So it was only, yeah. I mean, it did get a little bit nervous. The first half of the last quarter, but they didn't really have a winning forward all day, I thought.
No, I was never worried. You know, obviously we're all terrified when Mitch McGovern started punching his, doing the jumper punch, because, you know, you can just imagine his teammates just sort of their chest puffing with pride that their alpha male warrior leader is, you know, courageously taking them to the promised land. And amazingly, they didn't spark after that.
I think I mentioned this about that after round one game as well, because, you know, we all only have so many original things to say, but, it's good. A certain poignance, even more poignance now, that I'm pretty certain Mitch McGovern's earning more money than Dion Prestia.
Yeah, okay, so that is a cool, that's an interesting stat. I'm not sure they're directly comparable as players, and, you know, he's in his first year of his contract, but that is funny. I think Dion Prestia has gone from being quite bad value that you could live with because we won a flag to being almost underpaid, because now this year, just on this year, not in the AFL
rankings. He's on this year. He's definitely underpaid. Like
he's a pretty good coin, I think.
Good, but good, but not great.
Yeah, and like he's 13th in the AFL this year alone. If you just count this year in the rankings, so that's extremely good. But I'm sure there'd be plenty of players. I'm sure his peers around that level, there'd be plenty of guys of his coin would be quite comparable.
Yeah, it's not. It's just that he was always on the tier of the very good, like, you know, the Adam Treloar's, Dylan Shield, Coughlough, Dane Beams, all those guys cost two first round draft picks and a really big contract, and he's, you know, he was one first round draft pick and, you know, just a level down in salary. I mean, I suspect he's top five at the club, but yeah, no, he's just been great value, and I thought, you know, he was really good, but I thought our secondary midfielders were equally really stepped up to the plate without Cochin and Martin, and yeah, I've already mentioned him, but you know, Jack Graham was the highest rated player in the AFL ratings for the whole round, if not, certainly for the last three rounds, and then I got sick of going back. But it was a really big game.
It was, and like a few points there, just to circle back to Prestia a second. Like if you looked at the overall clearances for the game, that it was tied basically, but we won.
Mm.
But we all
against a team who is pretty good at clearances.
Yeah, and but we all know centre clearance is the most important in the game because of the way the 6-6-6 rule, and also it's, you know, it's a pivotal position on the ground. And we won those 13-4. And someone did a really good montage that we were targeting the person who was Cripps' man often.
I saw that. Actually, yeah. I wanted to shout them out. Ricky Mangidis on Twitter. Yeah, did a really nice job.
And that, look, in fairness, this is not an unheard of tactic. You can bet other teams take the guy Dusty's playing on when he's playing the centre. But to go back to the Prestia point, he had 11 clearances, which on a field where Cripps is playing, like he was by far the biggest clearance player on the day. And he was also by far the leader in centre square clearances. So, the full him and with that help with Shedder and others that really helped drive that centre square dominance and us winning not the clearances overall or through it was 41-40, so it was basically tied, but the winning the crucial clearances. And you know, there was one tap point where Nank tapped over the top of the Carlton ruckman, which you know Richmond ruckman almost never do because they're usually short guys who can't jump. With the greatest respect to Nank and Ivy, and then Prestia just bolted through, took the tap and just bolted through and kicked along. It was a classical, beautiful tap that has not been Richmond hasn't always been capable of playing that way recently. And I was in awe of Prestia's centre square work. In all might be too strong, but very impressed.
No, very impressed. Yeah, look, some of those highlight packages had some very nice work by Shane Edwards as well.
Oh, yes, he was on track. I think I tweeted out he was on track to have 48 possessions at quarter time. It was incredible, and yeah. he was just marking everything no matter how wet it was.
I love Shane Edwards. The late career Shane Edwards renaissance. It's just been a joy. It is so unusual for a player to be so much better in the late part of his career than he was at the start.
Oh yeah, like it's sort of like fans stop saying, "Oh, he's only young and he's still learning." But with most players, by the time they're 23, 24, they are what they are, unless they're talls. You know, you can see their statistical profiles pretty clearly. And Shedder's just as he pointed out himself when he was being interviewed, he was talking about some of the young players and how great it is they can get 30 touches. And he was saying, like, well, I couldn't do that till I was 28 years old. It's true. He was, as we regularly commented on this podcast, he was Mr. Consistency, could never get above 22 touches. And now he almost does that in a quarter. Not quite, but, you know, just incredibly influential. And both, we should mention Cheddar and Prestia were both playing milestone games, as has been loudly, widely commentated, and absolutely nailed it and led the team to a victory.
Yeah. And look, 250 games, huge achievement. Dion, when you change clubs, the milestones don't have quite have the same poignancy, but, you know, he's above 50 games for Richmond now. Yeah, he's Prestia is definitely building a career.
I put it to Nick that you lose quite a lot when you swap clubs, but you get 50% of that back if you're a premiership player. People like you so much that they want to celebrate your career successes.
And you play well in the finals series.
Yeah, that's true.
Certainly does help. The Jack Graham had a third more pressure acts than anybody else on the team on a day in which the team cracked in pretty hard, and he was he led the way with the pressure, and I just loved. I mean. Jack Graham kicking goals to the punt road end is just my favourite thing ever.
Goals was like just he was tackled for a long time. Like the Carlton player, he basically took the Carlton player on a piggyback and snapped the goal while doing it. It was poor strength.
It was a bit under nines football.
It was, wasn't it?
God bless. But yeah, he needs to be wearing the yellow jumper, kicking to the punt road end on a nice sunny day to really get the full flashback. But yeah, I love that. Look, we'll always have the grand final, but I liked that he's now had a game where he kicked more goals than the grand final. You mentioned the snap, hit the rumbling 50 metre plus goal, just before quarter time. Look, there was definitely some skill, but there was a lot of hard work and working harder than his man to get free in forward 50. And yeah, that's the Jack Graham formula.
Mm. So he was on Coach's Corner last week. I'm not sure if you watched it.
No, I didn't.
But a couple of points was that they sort of emphasised what a good kick he was. And sort of when you watch it, it's true. You know, when he gets time to straighten up, we don't often think of him as a good kick because he doesn't always get the time to wind up. But he is a good kick when he winds up. And they said that they often, in the coaching box, discuss using him as a tagger like they did against Sloan in the grand final. It always comes up, but they often decide not to do it, which is fair because we do hardly ever tag. So I can see why they're reluctant to do it, but you know, they talked about how competitive and smart he is, and it's sort of, and he's number one in the AFL for pressure acts a game.
It is number one for tackles per game as well. As actually we are as a club, which is pretty
pretty big transformation.
Pretty big transformation from literally last in 2016, which I know that your therapist has asked you not to talk about 2016 ever again. But we crack in pretty hard these days.
Yeah, and even like I was going to mention that, Jack Graham was 14, ridiculous, and Cheddar was high tackling 9, but Brando had 7. Just goes to show that.
Yeah. Brando had 7, maybe a Choll had 6, talking to people with unexpectedly high numbers. I thought Shai Bolton's pressure was pretty good on the day, in terms of, players whose defensive intensity can go up and down. Nank slotted in seamlessly, and I liked Josh Caddy's game on that front as well. I felt he was better rounded this week.
So just before I move on to the my compulsory ruck discussion, just wanted to Jack Ross, as said on Twitter, you know, they played him for reasonable parts of the game on Cribs, and Cribs had his usual 37, but was not particularly influential. Didn't have a lot of clearances and didn't kick a goal. So Jack wasn't on him the whole time. He played less game time, but I thought he was influential. He's his 21 disposals, his 7 tackles, which you mentioned before. He just made enough of his nuisance of himself to not, you know, all he needed to do was not disgrace himself and be a bit useful. And one thing I really like about Jack Ross is, so some of his kicking was a bit off, which I think that was a bit not, it's been a long break and he was probably a bit rushed and panicky under pressure because he hasn't quite got the feel.
And it was weird.
Yeah. But I'm sort of willing to give him a mulligan for that because I feel like it was partly just him not having a sense of the pressure because he'd been out for so long. But some of his hands are...
I had that on my notes as well. Like, yeah, very clean hands. And we shouldn't take the tackling for granted as well. Part of, as a junior, despite, you know, being one of the biggest kids on the field, he was never a particularly... He never had big tackling numbers. It was less than you expected. So, yeah, he's definitely making more of an effort on that. I just like having him in the team. I think selection's really difficult this week, but we'll get to that.
Well, I mean, maybe... Sorry, go.
Oh, I was... I thought the... Given without... Martin and Cochin, I thought things went pretty well, but it was, we should also note what a vote of confidence it was in Jack Ross after, you know, he's missed more than 2 months of footy and he's had one half of VFL. I was surprised he came straight back in.
Yeah, I agree. It was a big vote of confidence. The flip side of that, it perhaps wasn't such a big vote of confidence in some other players now on the team, but I think Caddy's dreams of ever being a regular midfield for Richmond, if they weren't dead already, they definitely are now. He's got a huge future. Now, Nick the Rucks. So,
Nank back?
Nank back, and it was sort of, I kept looking at his stat lines, because I kept, in his head, I thought he was doing much better than his numbers were, because he's just so clean, like, you really notice him. Like, having him back, you sort of course, because you've forgotten a bit about how skillful he is, and that's what he is. He's also, he might be an intimidatory thug, which, I think is a very good thing. Ruckman should intimidate the other team. But at his core, he's a little bit too short, but highly skilled ruckman. Like, he's got beautiful hands, even in the wet.
Yeah, and he's got the work ethic. Like, Cruiser is very... He doesn't have a huge leap, but he's a bit taller, and he's got slightly longer arms. But I think Nank... And Cruiser won the taps, but Nank had a lot more possessions, and most of that's just hard work. Like, he really does get up and down the ground pretty well, drops back in defence. It's just good. It's really good to have him in the team.
It's hard work, but the midfielders give it to him too because he's got the hands of a midfielder.
That's true. He's good at kicking for goal. It's great to have him back.
So I was pretty down on playing Chole this week before the game. I was thinking, well, for starters, he had, I think, 3 possessions the week before. So obviously him getting picked was pretty generous to start with. And then it was so wet, I was thinking it's going to be a really tough game for him. But the one sort of saving grace for it, I will say, is Nank played 10% less game time than Cruiser did. Nanks was in the low 70s for percentage time on ground, and normally he plays sort of low 80s. So that, you know, they did ease him in a little bit. That's good. The downside was six tackles aside and one nice hand pass. Chol was pretty useless.
He didn't have it. He didn't have his customary shot at goal. Yeah. and as you say, the conditions didn't suit him.
He's now played three games in a row. Where he's possession average for the three games in a row is under five.
Mm. Yeah. I'm not sure where we are with the second ruck.
Oh, I think I've made up my mind. Anyway, go. What do you think?
Well, because we've been through we've cycled through three different ruckmen. Oh, four from the VFL. You know, Ivan Solder, Chol, Callum Coleman-Jones, Noah Bolter. Look, of all of them, Callum Coleman-Jones is really good form in the VFL, but he's probably too far away. If he's the worst of them in being able to play elsewhere on the ground, Noah Bolter looks, you know, has awesome moments as a key defender. There's no easy solution.
So I sort of came to this conclusion, and I'm one of the reasons I'm sounding quite hard on Chol was that he clearly had he wasn't having a good game, and that's okay. Like, it wasn't, the conditions didn't suit him, but his chasing was you could see it. It was he's having a dirty day, and could he make up for it by chasing hard and you know, at least doing the off the ball stuff? And Otteri's chases were fine. There was nothing. There was no extra effort in it. There was nothing. He wasn't using his superb athleticism to sort of chase down any Carlton rebounding defenders particularly hard. So I just sort of like, I just don't feel like the, if you're going to play crap, your effort's got to be 100%. And I just felt like it was a decent effort, but nothing exceptional. So Nick, the question is, all three of our backup rucks are flawed in some way, but they've just got to give you enough while they're resting Nank. And who's going to do enough little positive things to get you over the line?
If you're talking little positive things, is it Ivan Soldo? It kind of feels like Ivan Soldo.
Well, I know. Well, the thing about, like, I like Ivy more because I just think he attacks the contest with a little bit more intensity than Chol does. But no, I think it's Bolter.
Yeah, we've been playing as a defender for a month.
But what we did in the VFL, he got three quarters in the, which, you know, I disagreed with that at the time. If we want to turn him in defender, do it in the off season. But he did play one quarter in the ruck, the last quarter in the ruck. So maybe we could do both, and he'd give us a backup backman as well, particularly since we're playing a very tall team this weekend. But I think
we are, and I'm quite worried about that with the Eagles, which we can talk about some more.
But did you see that highlight of Bolter running?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I have thoughts about that. We'll get to that. Let's finish off the seniors. I thought Sydney Stack was, I really liked having back him in the team. I thought he was always just, I thought his work rate was pretty good, especially in the first quarter. But yeah, just wasn't quite his day. And,
something's a bit off, isn't there?
Well, it's
probably
his worst. You can tell he missed a game with injury. I thought he wasn't quite at his normal stack-like self. But,
well, you can say it's his worst game for Richmond because all his other games have been so good. He still did some great stuff. Like, he did. The first goal came from a magnificent Stack Shepherd where he ran 30 yards to put on a great little...
He did, and I noticed a couple of times him just flashing into a contest and laying off hands just so quickly and cleanly. So, yeah,
So if you were the coaching staff, would you put him back on the basis of one game, saying that it might be a bit easier for you to play as a backman, or do you think maybe it's, you know, playing forward is inherently a high variance position, give him another week?
Yeah, and the Stack Baker value proposition. I think this is the best alignment. I think Baker's really got better in the small backman role.
Got 22 on the weekend, yeah.
22, but 11 intercept possessions. And yeah, if you take his month as a defender out for the whole season, he's in the top 20 in the AFL for intercept possessions, which is not something I would have ever expected.
Hmm.
Hmm. Second on our team, and better than higher average than Dylan Grimes.
Yeah, nice one. So maybe the coaches knew what they were doing in that one.
So he's going pretty well. I think over the past month, Grimes is going better just because Grimes is in awesome form. But I really like how he's fitting in because Baker had some very good games as a forward, including where he got himself a Rising Star nomination as a forward. But he's not super. He's not as good an athlete. Sometimes you get a bad matchup and it doesn't really work out for him. But and Stack's goals are fantastic. I thought both he and Shai Bolton, actually, there were none of the ooh, he should have handled that moments, which I liked.
Yeah, Bolton seemed to have got a bollocking about that.
I said last week about the Monday morning would have been awkward, but yeah, that for one of the Jack Rowan goals, he very deliberately handballed off, and I couldn't quite tell on the replay, but I hope people got around him for that.
Hmm. Now, Nick, I was impressed by Jason Castagna's game, and someone pointed out to us that his 22 touches was his second highest for his career. But Nick, I just want to tell you something else. The last six games in a row, he has been above 15 possessions every game.
We've stopped complaining about him.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that, Nick. So he's been above 15 possessions for six games in a row, well above in many cases. You know what his career disposal average is?
13?
12.
Mm.
So if you think about that, for the last six games, he's been well above his career average.
Mm.
So maybe we're seeing... and he's still young enough that it is possible. I mean, maybe it's just a rich run of form, but he's, he's an athlete first, footballer second, and he's 23, so he's not super old. This is an era of New George. Or on the other hand, maybe the conditions of just the wet conditions suit his style of play, his chaotic style of play. But I'm quite liking it.
Yeah, so... I have to admit, I'm only just getting the hang of the AFL heat maps. But so George had 19 disposals playing as a forward, and only three of them inside forward 50. So they were almost all of them on the wings, transitioning to half forward. But he constantly felt disruptive in a good way. When he won the ball or applied pressure. So, I liked his game.
Yeah, I think he's vital in the way we play that because he's hard running, creates space in the sort of that chaotic forward hand pass movement. And the other thing is, because the way that we move the ball forward and through the centre creates a lot of... We turn the ball over a lot too. You need guys who chase really hard and create secondary contests after we've turned it over so that either it doesn't rebound quickly or we get the ball back after we've turned it over. And I think George is probably, probably the best in the team or next to Rioli at doing that. Now, Nick, I just have to ask, have you stepped into an aviary? Because there's plenty of bird life going on in the background, but...
No, I've stepped out into the... there is a rooster. No, I've stepped out into the backyard to... escape the children.
Fair enough. Now, anything else before you move on to the VFL?
Oh, look, just... I did... So it's Nathan Broad's 50th game this week, and... It was mentioned on the official podcast about asking when Broad was going to be recognised in the same way Gloston and Grimes are, and I did react badly to that a little bit. I do think Broad's a very good athlete, both endurance and speed. But he just loses more one-on-one contests. He's a useful part of the team that Silvani caused him to some trouble, and he's competitive, but he loses more one-on-one contests than those other guys who are very, very good, if not elite in that category. And down the line, Dave's pretty good as well. Broad's a step down. He's still a useful part of the team, but yeah. I think we need to recognise the elite guys for who they are.
I think you're right. Look, I think you could see inside a club he'd be a hipster's choice to say how good he is, because he covers a lot of ground. So he really helps the structure of the defence by providing a lot of zonal cover. But he's important. But I mean, I completely agree with everything you just said. He's not a dominant one-on-one player, whereas all those guys. Yes, they play as a zone, but that zone eventually turns into a one-on-one contest, and they are often elite in those circumstances. The other thing is, when we have the ball, aside from not getting it very often, he's not actually very good with it. He's okay. I'm not criticizing him, but like, if you compare him to Vlossy and Grimes, I mean, Vlossy, as you know, Nick, I think he's arguably the best kick on the team. Like, his just ability to weight a 35-metre kick sideways into a difficult zone is, I think, is superb. And Grimes now provides so much when he gets the ball, he really moves it forward aggressively and well, and he's almost always pinpointing his disposal. And down the line, Dave almost never makes a mistake with his disposal these days. Now he's playing with his... I put Broad and Dave Asprey in the same category of disposal quality and... sort of, and the others as being elite and moving the ball out. I just don't think Grimes and Vossi are the people. Grimes is going to be all Australian this year, and Vossi, there's a case for it. I agree. There's tiers. The other guys are good, but Grimes and Vossi are on Mount Rushmore for me.
Yeah, I mean, We'd be remiss not to mention something that another friend of the podcast pointed out to us about just how ridiculously it is that where Nathan Broad's going into his 50th game with 10 losses.
Yeah, timing's everything in life, isn't it? Can you imagine if he'd come on a crap Richmond team, which was getting a whole lot of dangerous forward 50 entries into its back line, and, regularly having 3 or 4 goals kicked on him? He might have had a 10-game career, but as it is, he's playing on a really strong team that uses his good attributes really well, and he's beloved. Football, eh?
Loved is too far for me. It's still
okay.
His was the only sour note of what was the best non-family related day of my life. So yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
So these things happen.
I lost a leather jacket that day at the All Nations, so that was a bit of a down. I quite like that leather jacket. Anyway,
but so many hugs. Yeah, so many sweaty hugs.
Sweaty man hugs. Yeah. So
VFL team clinched the minor premiership. Definitely coming into form with, as you'd expect, with the improvement in personnel. It was part of a weekend when all three teams beat Carlton, which is deeply satisfying. Callum Moore back, another guy back after a long injury, played well, kicked 4 goals. The best two players on the team, really, fair to say, fairly old-fashioned players. Jake Townsend and Jacob Townsend and Jake Arts both played very well and kicked 3 goals. I did wonder.
24, 27 touches, respectively.
I did wonder if Arts has been an emergency back when we were struggling to find 25 fit bodies. But I wonder if he's in the squad this week.
Look, you know, Nick, I'm as much as I'm underwhelmed by Arts. You know, it'd be a nice story if he got a game, and I'm sure it would be a nice story. I'm sure he'd absolutely bust a gut.
Yeah, for a guy, we were both underwhelmed by him when we drafted him, and we're normally pretty glass half full, but yeah. He did play pretty well.
Yeah, and like I've seen him live multiple times and never come away raving. But yeah, like as you say, it's a cool story. I'd love it if he played well. But Nick, my problem with that scenario is that, like, you know, you're talking about a comeback of Razor Ramon when we've got The Undertaker playing in the VFL. It's getting September and Towner had 27 touches and 3 goals. Like, come on, Nick, where's your sense of location?
Well,
like,
yes. Yes, true.
Surely it's time to dim the lights and hit Jacob Townsend's music.
I know. I was wearing my Jacob Townsend fan club t-shirt when I took the kids to Auskick this week.
Oh, nice. My Sydney stack hat. Actually, I had a... so those who haven't seen it, you can buy a Sydney Stack t-shirt with, it's just got Sydney written in it, and an old-fashioned Stack hat, and a millennial saw it, and I had to explain to her that what a Stack hat was. So, interestingly, Dimmer, when he was asked about the ruck situation, said very diplomatically in the press conference that we might use a rotation based on who's the best matchup, i.e. we're going to drop Chole. And then he mentioned every single one of our ruckmen almost equally. But Cal McCollum-Jones really did sort of separate himself a bit today.
Yeah, he's winning a lot of football, and he wasn't. And he won a lot of football not as a primary ruck.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Because that's what we need our second ruck to be functional when they're not rucking. Mm. That's their problem at the moment.
Yeah. We mentioned last week he's up averaging close to 20 possessions a game for the second half of the year. He's getting shots on goal. He's playing well. The Noel Bolter... Look, everyone should seek out the footage of him bursting down the MCG. I was struck. There's probably him and a few other guys who, you know, VFL grounds are sometimes smaller, but they're almost always in not as good condition as the big AFL ovals. And yeah, Noah Bolter with the space that the MCG provides, it's quite a sign.
Yeah, but still only 12 possessions. It's, you know, Noel Bolter in the VFL, he never takes it over, does he? He's always good. He always gives you a highlight. But
yeah, stringing it all together is still a concern. But yeah, as you said, he had one quarter in the ruck, you know, kicked a goal, had a few hit outs. Yeah, tantalising.
We should mention Cal Moore came back and kicked 4.
And I think that was only from 3/4 as well.
Yeah, nice little advertisement for his future employer.
Oleg Markov winning more ball as a forward, which I liked. I still believe, goddamn.
Well, we've got him for another year, so you know.
Yeah. Marlon Pickett played the best, was in the best, despite not winning huge amount of ball, but yeah, the drums are definitely beating that there's some influential people at Richmond who are pretty keen to give him a game.
Did a little bit think that he made the best partly because, like, the coaching staff are trying to talk themselves into playing him, that they, like, that it's sort of confirmation bias?
I don't think the coaching staff do the best.
Okay. Alright, fair enough.
For the VFL website.
Yeah.
He's quite eye-catching. You know, he's 6 foot He's over 6 foot and a bit Rolls Royce in the way he moves. Should mention, Fraser Turner and Paddy Naish playing wing half back, solid again. Luke English is going okay for a guy who'd had a complete washout of the season for the last couple of games. He's actually, I don't have any great hopes for his career, but yeah, he's been solid.
Mm. So, Nick, we're sailing past 45 minutes and we still haven't got to the fact that we're about to play match of the round.
Yeah, well, we should mention, I said about the third, we had three wins, we beat the VFLW, also had a comfortable win over Carlton. They've been a bit up and down as the personnel have gone up and down a bit, but they had the our big ruckman Alice Edmonds back, Monique Conti's in really good form in without Katie Brennan, Talia Style Smith, pretty good up forward. We've never fully had the Death Star lineup assembled. Unfortunately, we have to wait for the AFLW for that. But got a pretty good team.
Whatever that will be.
Oh, Katie Brennan, Monique Conti, in midfield, Alice Edmonds in the ruck.
No, what I meant is the AFL kept moving the start date of the AFLW season.
Oh, I know. Caroline Wilson's rant on that is epic. Just calling out the amateur hour at AFL headquarters, which, enjoyed.
It's a tough one. Like, there's layers and layers to unpack, but things like not setting the start, not getting locking in the start of the season, that's...
I don't get the feeling... Look, it's Channel 7, and Channel 7, you know, I'm still getting my head around them having the cricket, just commit to it.
The one thing I thought after Kara's rant, I thought about how you'd start from scratch with the AFLW, but let's save that for another day.
Okay. So West Coast are a very good team. Not unbeatable. They are the reigning premier. They deserve a lot of respect. But yeah, I mean, the record's not overwhelming, and neither is the percentage. Like, it's, I mean, the percentage is 117. It's still a bit better than ours. But we've got a month in there when we were a shell of a team, getting beaten.
Yeah, like, I mean, you could just go there last. Did you watch the Crows game? Well, for those of us who, you know, were watching the Crows game after our triumph and wanted more football, they just spotted over the line against a deeply mediocre Crows team that lost their best player halfway through. So, you know, there's not, the week before, they sort of just beat, well, you know, by 20 points, they beat Carlton in under the dome in Marvel Stadium, which is...
They were pretty unimpressive beating Melbourne as well, I thought. They're a very good team, and they have some very good players, like Jack Darling's full forward in the AFL ratings team of the year. Mitch McGovern leads the AFL in intercepts, and Shannon Hearn's in the top 10 as well. Although, weirdly enough, despite having those two guys, they're well below average as a team in intercept possessions, and they're not, despite, you know, they've clearly been influenced by Richmond in getting the small, quick forwards. Their pressure inside 50 is not, certainly doesn't pop on the page statistically.
They score a lot for the inside 50s. Like, they're a very precise team.
They are very efficient, and that one thing that does worry me about the current incarnation of Richmond is that we can be a little inconsistent at times, depending on how the small forwards are going.
Yeah, and I worry a bit whether they of all teams might have the right forward personnel to challenge us.
Yeah, they are big in the forward line. Josh Kennedy's definitely showing signs of decline. He's still good, but he's also about to turn. I think he's 32 years old. Later this month, he's clearly down on as previous seasons. But yeah, Jack Darwin's gone up a level, and they've had under the Richmond Talls and Smalls model, I've been a bit contemptuous of the 191 centimetre third forward type of player, but Oscar Allen plays bigger than that because he's got a good leap and has good hands. And even Jake Waterman, who's Chris Waterman's son, he's the same size and he's kicked a few goals as well. So that's four guys above 190 centimetres. So, looping back around to what we said before, it does work. Nathan Broad playing on Oscar Allen does worry me a bit. And Jack Allen's a handful for anybody.
Yeah, the flip side is I'm hoping that it's sort of interesting thing is like I think it would have been really interesting to have the late 2017 team play against the best Eagles team, see how McGovern goes against our chaos ball entries. Pete McGovern playing Pete Townsend might have caused a rift in the space-time continuum.
Could Jacob Townsend pick up Thor's hammer?
Yes, good one. Shouldn't have dropped that in the 45th minute after, but most people have probably still tuned out. So I'm hoping that sort of having workshop with this, we'll discuss with a few people. I'm hoping that sort of the frantic way we bring the ball forward and the rapid hand passing will mean that McGovern would put out of position. Basically no one can play on Tom Lynch anymore anyway. If we get a reasonable, there's a bit of rain scheduled, but hopefully, it would be interesting to have it a dry day and see how Tom Lynch will play. And, Jack's not getting many plaudits, but, he only kicked two goals, but both of those were off good contested marks. Mm. I don't know if that counted as contested marks, but, they were clearly contested marks in key spots on the ground. Like, our forward line's actually functioning pretty well at the moment.
None of the small forwards are in overwhelming.
Yeah, that's form. We're not going to win if Bolton and Stack play as well. If they play forward and they played as well as they did against Carlton, they
need to play better. Scrambling to check the statistics, but did we get so out of Bolton, Castagna, Brioli, we didn't get a shot at goal out of, or none of them scored.
Yeah, good one.
And we need more than that.
And Bolton, because Bolton goes through the midfield a reasonable amount. He had 11 touches, Stack had 12, and Brioli had 10. Like, other than Ria, like, that's three crucial creators for us, all combined, three players not getting that much of the ball. And by the way, Bolton always plays loads of minutes. Like, we're clearly working on his fitness. Mm. He can't be unproductive because when you've got what we do, which is we play a second ruck with low minutes, and you've got Bolton on low minutes, and you're nursing Sydney Stack, you're winding up having to play other players you're barely able to rest them. Like, Bolton needs to deliver when he's on the pitch because we're nursing him. Anyway,
And he often does.
But oh, yeah. He does. Yeah, he's been great. I'm a huge fan. But we're not going to beat a top elite team with the elite. This is how we beat an elite team with the Eagles. These guys have to step up on the big stage. And they've been great. Yeah. But it's show and tell time.
Apparently Dusty's back. Cochin's a question mark.
Oh, my God. See, Dimmer in the post-cap conference was just talking about Dusty. Oh, he had general soreness. He trained on Friday, and then he just said he was generally sore. Yeah, he woke up and, Like, it was the most inexplicable way. Why don't you just say the truth? Which is, he had a minor injury. We don't want to tell you what it is.
Yeah, and we don't respect Carlton, so we didn't fly him.
Yeah, he could have left that out, but yeah, that's pretty much what he said.
It was implied. Yeah. You know, the Western Australian fans do get their tinfoil hats on about certain players not being respected, but Elliot Yeo being one of the best players in the competition, I sort of knew he was really good, but yeah, not, I didn't quite twig top 20 in the AFL good, but that's how good he's been this year.
Yeah, that's what the stats say.
The eye test matches it as well. He's a good athlete. Because he started his career at Brisbane, and it wasn't, you know, I think it was the second round draft pick to get traded back to the West. Like, it was a very low profile start to his career. Luke Shuey, you know, extremely solid worker. You know, Andrew Gaff, works very hard at, you know, I think 32 disposals a game as an outside mid. They're a very good team. They're not a great team, but they're very good.
I wonder how many people would have guessed Elliot Yeo is number one in the AFL for tackles.
Oh, that's total number of tackles.
Yep.
Jack Graham's tackles per game.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, he's played every game, so.
Yeah, he's a very good player out there, and it's a physical midfield, but also has some silk as well. Yeah, they're not going to be easy.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
Just a celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Come from nowhere.
Makes rants.
Never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Pick up from Conjun. Left off snap.
Something fantastic, and we just got to keep riding away.
Martin, three votes.